Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Global Lithium Q&A. Today I'm going to cover why I've changed my mind a little bit and believe that pricing probably has one more step down to go before we get to the bottom. I don't think, for me, it changes the fact that I think once we reach a bottom, we'll hold the bottom for an extended period, perhaps even up close to a year, and then by 2021, early 2021, price is going to begin to rise and maybe steeply. And I'll get into why I believe that. I'm going to briefly mention the Nemaska filing for bankruptcy protection yesterday, and talk about why I sold my Livent stock that I acquired just a few months ago. Below $6, and why I sold it in the high eights this week. Normally, I'm not a trader. Normally, I buy and hold. But we'll get into my thinking on that. But before we do all that, I have a guest this morning, one McMurray Whale, aka Mac Whale, aka the best name in lithium, and the person I think is one of the top analysts in the lithium space. So I thought it would be good to get Mac on as we begin a new decade in next week to give us his thoughts on where stocks are going in 2020. So without further ado, I'm going to give Mac the floor. Good morning, Mac, and the floor, as they say, is yours.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about lithium as we head toward a new decade. You have many knowledgeable, experienced guests that have discussed supply and demand and pricing, so rather than just adding yet another forecast to that, I will focus my comments on what institutional investors are watching and waiting for and worried about. So let's just start with the lithium chemical producer stocks and valuation. Of the producers, only Ganfeng is up on a 12-month basis, strongly up 34% year over year. Meanwhile, Tianqi and Albemarle are down in the mid-teens, SQM and Oro Cobre in the mid-30s, and Livent nearly down 40%. And what you need to keep in mind is a year ago, these stocks were actually all down between 22 and 61%. So investors have suffered through a really bad 24 months, very bearish, very disappointing, and that's if they're still hanging around. Yet the valuations have barely moved. A year ago, the producers were trading at an average forward EV to EBITDA multiple of 9.2 times, and today they're 9.7. So what's happening here? Obviously, the EBITDA expectations have come down a lot. And in the stock market, those changes to expected EBITDA really are everything. It doesn't matter how many car prototypes have been announced, or how many new production facilities are planned, or how many battery gigafactories are announced, or how much lithium is needed in 2025, or how short the market will be, because investment today is insufficient to get capacity higher. Those are frankly not what institutional investors keep in mind. They look out 12 months and they focus on changes to earnings outlook. And then they make their decisions accordingly. They're all well aware of these things that I've mentioned, but it is just that these issues are secondary to valuation and timing. So before I talk about 2020, let's just switch for a minute, talk about the new entrants or the developers. The only stock besides Ganfeng that's up year over year is Lithium Americas. Not only do they continue construction in Caucharí-Olaroz, but they're making progress in Nevada. And 2020 should see lots of improvements, or at least important developments there, as they approach expectations of production in 2021. And it's interesting to me that their only other stock that's up is their partner, Ganfeng. So when you think of ecosystems, it's important to keep that in mind. But all the other Canadian-listed brine developers are suffering, and that's because investors believe they missed the window for financing. Now, this may not be correct, but that's what investors think. So what about my outlook then in 2020? First, part of the year will focus on China policy. I think that first part of the year is important, that we get some clarity on the various sticks versus carrots that the government will use to encourage EVs. It's fascinating to me that though China EVs are now year over year declining, they're in that declining territory, the Western automakers are actually showing increases. It's just not that fast enough to account for the China decline. I think this is important. If we X out the China EVs, then the EV story would make make headlines. But China is really masking the progress. Now, the car market, though, is in recession, and that's bad news. I used to cover automakers, and I can tell you from experience, all plans for new introductions are delayed in a downturn. Every investor knows this, and that's why I said earlier, none care about the data providers talking about Gigafactory announcements. They don't care because they don't believe EV introductions and sales will take place as quickly as the hype from 2 years ago would suggest. So I think that the first half is about China regs. The middle part will be about Western automaker plans, and then everything gets murkier to predict from there. If lithium pricing remains stable where it is now, in the summer, or it falls and recovers to where it is now, then the level of market pricing will get established in investors' minds. I think this is what will happen because as often pointed out, the pricing seems to be reflecting volumes and cost points at marginal cost of production. Now, typically, when a pricing of a commodity stays consistent for a while, then investors become complacent and they accept the new norm. Then even a small amount of improvement in the back half, or even a more positive outlook for 2021 pricing, then we'll see the stocks lift. So keep in mind, at that point, summer 2020, there'll be no new capacity of size online, and the 2021 demand will be looming in people's minds. So 2025 will then obviously be much closer than it looks today. So even in the absence of a price increase for the chemicals, the valuations could rise in the summer on the anticipation of an improving outlook. So by then, we'll be looking at the autumn, and then we'll have the outlook reports from the major producers, and we'll have a better idea of what the China sales look like. Then the supply side will likely not have changed. So I think by the summer of next year, we'll be in really interesting territory. The bottom line, from a stock perspective, I think we're looking at a quarter to 6 months of no interest, and then a reassessment at the end of the spring. Now, keep in mind, valuations seem attractive now, but many institutions will look to 6.5 to 7 times EV to EBITDA before they start to buy. If the stocks hold where they are now, that will mean we'll need to roll over to 2021 estimates in Q1 that actually reflect higher EBITDA. So that will need higher pricing outlook in 2021. So that's the question mark, really, that institutional investors are looking at. So once those majors improve, then we'll see the new entrants improve, and lastly, the early stage developers. But for now, there's little interest. The stocks of the majors will need something to change on pricing to get the eyeballs back on this space. So that's it for me. Take care, Joe. Have a wonderful Christmas, a happy new year, and safe travels for you and your family in 2020.
Thanks, Mac. Always good to get your thoughts, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to our listeners. So to move on, I said I was going to talk a little bit about the market and why I think there's another step down in price. And what we're seeing in the last few months is with SQM re-entering China in a major way, and the last statistics available for November show China was again their largest destination, shipping carbonate wise. And, you know, the price was well below close to $6 a kilo, when their pricing in Korea and Japan and Belgium and other places is still more or less $10, depending on the exact nature of the product that are shipping and the port, but you know, it clusters around 10. So we've also seen Albemarle join that party and get rid of some material in China at much lower prices than they're selling elsewhere. And that obviously continues to put pressure on what is known as the Chinese spot market. And this whole situation is further exacerbated by a tight money situation in China. Smaller companies, then that would certainly include the converters of spodumene concentrate into lithium chemicals. At the present time, many of them, I believe, are selling below their costs, which is unsustainable. But, you know, people are trying to get cash as we end the year. And, you know, Chinese New Year's not too far away. You have an additional level of downward pressure on price. And, you know, the China price and the global price are not the same, but they're not unrelated. So For the reasons of both the behavior of chiefly SQM as a Western player, but Albemarle is not without complicity here in the China price story, and then that exacerbated by the financial situation in China has is led me to believe that we'll go one more step down in price. And that, the other thing I would like to just mention is the feedback I'm getting on contracts in both Korea and Japan for next year is that lithium carbonate is 9 to 10. Probably if you were going to round it, it would be closer to 9. Hydroxides fall in 2. Hydroxides going probably early next year in Korea and Japan, 11 to 12. And obviously, it depends on the customer. It depends on the amount they're buying, the volume. But, you know, we can find, you know, I can find you prices that are higher than that. But if you're talking about dozens of containers and you find one or two containers that are priced higher, you know, let's just talk about the what's going on as an average. And those prices are going to be down. And yes, you know, I've talked about this before. I still expect a return to 12 to 14 longer term, but, you know, that could be 2021. It's going to be another tough year for the converters for sure next year, even though spodumene prices are coming down. And we saw that the price from Mount Marion MinRes announced would for the next quarter be $520. And you can expect that the other players to see that sort of decline. So, yes, the cost curve will drop with the spodumene price, but it's still not going to support the kind of prices that SQM is selling into China at $6 to $7 range. Let's move on to Nemaska. Yesterday, they announced seeking protection from bankruptcy. I've been writing about Nemaska and you know the problems that you could expect since 2015. I couldn't predict when this kind of event would actually happen, but you know, if you want more on that, you can go to my social media or others. I know Daniel Jimenez has put a tweet out about this, and you know, I think it's pretty well not a shock to real industry followers. And I think what I said, the quote that's in the FT article, is that when money and hubris meet lithium, you know, bad things happen. And I feel very badly for the investors in Nemaska, and I feel very badly for the employees. But again, not a surprise to me, but certainly another black eye on lithium projects. And it's unfortunate. But that's really all I'm going to say about that. I'll be writing more in a LinkedIn post, but you know, you can go back to my old LinkedIn posts on Nemaska, and pretty much what I said would happen has happened. So let's move on to why did I sell Livent? And again, I am not giving stock advice. I'm telling you my thinking and some actions I took. I think long-term, obviously, I have a deep history with what is now Livent when it was FMC Lithium, you know, more than two decades. They make a great product, but you know they've failed to expand. And I've said a lot about the hydroxide strategy. I had some hope that they were going to kind of temper the hydroxide-centric strategy, but it appears more that, you know, it's going to take a long time to do that. They're going to have to be fully expanded at Arnbo and Merito, and that's going to take a while. And so I saw a real opportunity when the stock got down well below six. I bought a relatively significant chunk of it. And then when it got up towards nine, and then I looked at next year and I looked at the exposure they have on just hydroxide price, and My belief that they won't be able to get a significant premium. My recent travels have indicated that for sure that in Japan and Korea, people are now saying that Gangfen's the premier supplier, not Livent. Livent's still an excellent, makes an excellent product, but because they haven't made the investments a company like Gangfen has, the perception now on Livent is totally different. So Livent really has a lot of work to do to reestablish themselves as anything more than a niche player in hydroxide. And for that, I believe that the risk on the stock staying at lower levels for an extended period is there. And so I decided that in this case, it made sense to take a 30%+ return in a short period of time. And I haven't gone totally dark on Livent. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that I think it's going to be a tough year. 2020 is going to be a difficult year for them. I think the whole hydroxide strategy and the fact that, hard rock is going to dominate hydroxide supply in the future. And, obviously Livent doesn't use the process that the hard rock guys do. They have a little higher cost than an Albemarle or a Tianqi will. The potential positive for Livent is that when you've had all the delays in projects, Tianqi's Kwinana project being much slower than people thought, Albemarle backing away. If we had an honest spike in 811 cathode, the high nickel cathode that requires hydroxide, if that happens suddenly, yeah, it could be a good story for Livent. But anybody who listens to either podcast that I'm on knows that I think the 811 implementation is slower rather than faster than people thought. So it ultimately is not a great thing for Livent. So those are the couple of topics that I wanted to address, besides getting the listeners the opportunity to hear Mac Whale. I think 2020 is going to be another difficult year, and I want to make one other point as we go into the new decade. As I was writing about Nemaska in 2015, I was also writing about another company called Gangfen, and I called Gangfen as the next major and the next lithium superpower quite a long time ago. And it gives me, I feel it's rather funny now to listen to various people out there bragging that they called Gangfen earlier this year. And that was a top pick. And I said, well, that's in my mind, a little late to the party. That's like, picking the Super Bowl winner, after the final whistle blows. So, I'm happy to say that I've been a fan of Gangfen for a long time, and as Mac indicated, they've done pretty well this year. So just wanted to get that final parting thought in. As we enter the new decade, I see Gangfen as well positioned, and because Gangfen is well positioned, I think the people in their universe are also going to be well positioned. And then as I go stream of consciousness here, one final thought is that I think the Nemaska story isn't the last big story for hard rock, because I think that there will be another WA mine on care and maintenance by Q2 of 2020, if not before. And that really needs to happen to kind of clean up the excess supply of spodumene concentrate and DSO that's floating around China. So it's been a tough year, 2019, and 2020 is going to be tough too, but we're going to get through this. And I believe by 2021, the industry goes to where people thought it was going back in 2016. And with that, I'm going to say Merry Christmas to the audience. Happy Hanukkah. We will see you in the new year. This has been another episode of Global Lithium Q&A. For more on the lithium industry, you can follow me on Twitter at Global Lithium, on LinkedIn, where I've published more than 100 articles on the lithium space, or at www.lithiumpodcast.com for the Global Lithium Podcast, which I co-host with Emily Hirsch, and it's also available on most major podcast outlets. Once again, thanks for listening.